Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. The MS symptoms that usually grab the spotlight are the physical ones: difficulty walking, balance problems, loss of bladder control, visual deficits, and numbness. But in the last 25 years, there has been increasing recognition of how MS may affect cognition, the mind's ability to store, organize, process, and recall information, memory deficits, slowed information processing, and difficulties with organization and problem solving have always been part of the disease for some people, but these symptoms were often misunderstood or downplayed. Joining us today to help us better understand cognitive dysfunction is Nicholas LaRocca. Dr. LaRocca is Associate Vice President of Healthcare Delivery and Policy Research in the Research and Clinical Programs Department at the National MS Society in New York City. Welcome to the program, Dr. LaRocca.
Thank you, Rick.
Doctor, I understand that the majority of people that struggle with cognitive dysfunction are not affected severely and are most affected with memory and slowed information processing. Recent memory, in particular, seems to be an issue. Describe for us the issues that people have regarding recent memory and any strategies they might deploy to assist them.
Sure. Well, memory is something that really enters into almost everything we do in everyday life. And so problems remembering names, remembering plots and characters in books, remembering what's happening as you're watching a movie, when you go shopping, not remembering the things that you went shopping for, going into a room and not remembering why you went into that room, or forgetting driving directions if you're trying to get somewhere. These are all experiences that people with MS have when they are experiencing memory problems. And there's a variety of things that people can do to try and deal with those changes. In particular, people can substitute other ways of approaching some of these everyday activities, especially through substitution. And substituting the same sorts of things that we all use in everyday life, but using them a little bit more intensively and a little bit more frequently, so that writing things down when you're reading a book, making notes as you're reading the book, using an organizer perhaps in a more extensive way than other people do, trying to organize your life a little bit better. All of these things can help people to combat the memory problems and to get through the day and to be able to deal with everyday activities and the memory deficits that can occur with MS. So through organization and through some of these simple techniques, it is possible to work around many of these memory problems.
And in your experience, Dr. LaRocca, how common are those sorts of symptoms?
Well, memory problems probably affect perhaps a third to a half of people with MS. And it's the most frequently mentioned cognitive change, possibly because, as I said earlier, there's hardly anything we do in everyday life that doesn't require memory in one form or another. And an interesting part about memory is that in MS, it is, of course, recent memory that's affected. In other words, things that people have learned recently, whereas things that people learned years ago, they may remember quite clearly. And so people are often perplexed by the fact that they can remember these things from long ago, and yet they can't remember a person that they met an hour ago.
Those sounds very similar to the types of memory problems that a lot of people have just with aging, the natural process. How do we distinguish between the two?
Well, it's sometimes hard to distinguish between the two, but among people with MS who are experiencing memory problems, those problems are likely to be much more pervasive and more severe than the problems that would just naturally occur as a result of aging. And so it's important to recognize that the memory problems that occur in MS are very specific to MS, and to not try to be so reassuring to people that they feel that you're not recognizing the fact that they are running into difficulty with this problem.
Another common syndrome is called the tip of the tongue syndrome. And it's another form of cognitive dysfunction for people with MS. Explain this for us and any tips, again, that might be helpful in dealing with it.
Well, the tip of the tongue phenomenon is the experience in which a person is trying to think of a word or they're trying to say a word and they feel that it's just on the tip of their tongue and yet they can't quite think of it, they can't quite get it out. And certainly everyone experiences this from time to time. But people with MS are much more likely to have this experience, and it's much more likely to be very frequent among people with MS. After memory, it's probably one of the most frequent complaints that we hear from people about MS in regard to cognitive functioning. In terms of trying to deal with it, what we tell people is to try and relax, because what happens to people when they begin to experience this, they become anxious. They try harder and harder to think of the word that they're missing, all of which probably makes it even more difficult to come up with that word. So we really advise people to relax, take it easy, try not to get so anxious about the phenomenon. And also, when they are talking, to remember to slow down. In many cases, people are trying to communicate so quickly, they're trying to talk so fast, that perhaps the speech is in many ways almost running ahead of what the brain can process. And so slowing down a little bit when you're talking can also help. Another strategy that may help is for people to continue to build their vocabulary. Very often, if a person is trying to think of a word, what they're really trying to do, they're trying to come up with a concept that they would like to communicate to other people. And if they have other words, if they have a variety of different words with which they can communicate that concept, they can always substitute something for that word that's just not coming to them. So relaxing, slowing down, and always trying to maintain and expand your vocabulary are all things that can help with this tip of the tongue phenomenon.
And Dr. LaRocca, I've encountered people in my life with that syndrome, and sometimes they use humor to help them through situations. It seems helpful.
That's true. I think that again, trying not to take it too seriously, to maintain your sense of humor when this happens, but obviously, with anything involving humor, one always has to be cautious to make sure that the other person is on the same wavelength that you are when you're using humor.
Right, okay. Well, another common challenge is one's ability to process information. Describe for us what that means. Give us an example, perhaps, of what it might look like and how one can handle it.
The way people with MS describe it is they say that, well, I can still do everything that I used to do from a standpoint of intellectual abilities, but I just can't do it as quickly as I used to. So that, for example, a person who is in a job where there's a lot of pressure, where there's a very rapid pace in terms of what's happening, may find that they can still process the information accurately, but they need more time in which to process it. This is certainly very frustrating for people because very often people are in a situation where the demands of the situation are for speed, and they just can't come up with the speed in processing that they used to. The other problem that people run into is that so much in life involves processing more than one channel of information at once, and this has become very popular, of course, with the young generation right now, where it's really the fashion to multitask. And so you're working on your computer, you're watching television, you're on your phone, you're doing all of these things at once. Well, the person with MS who's experiencing slowed information processing is going to have a lot of trouble doing that sort of multitasking, being able to rapidly switch back and forth and to very quickly process all of that sort of information. And so one way to deal with slowed information processing is to try and focus on one channel at a time, obviously to slow down, to try and work in an environment where there aren't quite as much in the way of time pressures, and as much as possible to try and eliminate competing stimuli. Because very often what people find is that when they're trying to process information, if there are distractions which are interfering with the process of dealing with information, that will only aggravate the problem of their being able to process information more slowly. So all of those things can be helpful to people and will allow people to be able to function very well, but again, just at a slower pace.
The issue of problem solving is also a concern for some people with cognitive dysfunction. On the surface, it sounds very similar to the ability to process information. How is problem solving distinct, and what can people do about that?
Well, problem solving is a little bit more complicated, and it's not one of the problems that people often complain about, like memory, because memory is so obvious. Problem solving involves what we refer to as executive functions. And executive functions involve planning, prioritizing, and organizing. In other words, looking at a chunk of life, a set of tasks, a project, let's say, and being able to organize those, being able to take a task or a project to divide it up into subparts, and being able to implement those parts in a logical order and to work toward a goal. And problem solving involves all of those steps. But people with MS often find that it's difficult for them to engage in that type of a organizational process. It's difficult for them to weigh the pros and cons that are necessary to establish priorities. What do you do first? What do you do second? How do you keep the whole process organized so that, for example, at this time of the year, one might think of doing your taxes. There's a problem-solving task that we all face, and it's something that requires organization. It's something that requires dividing the overall task into its subparts, pursuing each one in a logical fashion, and eventually arriving at a goal. And what seems to be helpful for people who have difficulty in this area is sitting down and actually developing a written plan for any kind of problem-solving activity, and also sitting down with someone and talking through the steps, actually getting someone to help you analyze what's needed, and whether it's a project or it's making a major decision in life, being able to explicitly write down the different steps, write down the pros and cons, the priorities, and then talking it through with another person can be very helpful in order to bring the problem-solving ability back up to a more acceptable level.
I can see that for people with that difficulty of problem-solving, the tendency might be to just withdraw from certain situations that seem overwhelming.
I think that's true, and it's unfortunate because when people have the experience of perhaps making a couple of bad decisions or failing when they've tried to take on a major task or a major project, they get discouraged and they decide that they really should not try and do that sort of thing in the future, when in reality, by using some of these strategies, it's possible for them to take on that type of task in the future. So it's something that can be worked on and can be worked on very successfully.
Well, Dr. LaRocque, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but thanks again for being with us and for helping us better understand some of the issues people face with cognitive problems and ways they can be addressed. Thanks again.
Thanks, Rick.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that was not addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. And you may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.